Hello, welcome to another episode of Turkey Book Talk. I'm the host, William Armstrong. In this podcast, I talk to authors about newly released books on Turkey and its neighbourhood. Subscribe to this podcast through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or Acast. Follow the Turkey Book Talk Facebook page and or the Twitter account at Turkey Book Talk, which will keep you updated with the latest episodes. And there's my website, armstrongwilliam.wordpress.com, where I post show notes and other related links. Remember, if you enjoy or benefit in some way from this podcast and you want to support it and me, you can do so directly via my Patreon account, which lets you make a small or large donation on a per episode basis. You can find details of that Patreon account through all the usual Turkey Book Talk pages. And don't forget the special new deal. As listeners of the Turkey Book Talk podcast, you can now get a hefty 33% discount plus free delivery on 4 excellent books published by the great Hearst Publishers. All the books on the list, available at cut price, are written by authors who have featured on this podcast. They include The Circassian, A Life of Eshref Bey, Late Ottoman Insurgent and Special Agent by Benjamin Fortner, The New Turkey and Its Discontents by Simon Waldman and Emre Çalışkan, The Poison Well, Empire and Its Legacy in the Middle East by Roger Hardy, and Out of Nowhere, The Syrian Kurds in Peace and War by Michael Gunter. To order any of those titles in hardback for a third off the original price, follow the link that I will post on armstrongwilliam.wordpress.com, which will take you to the special page for the deal. I've also put a link in the show notes to this episode on iTunes and Podbean, etc. So do check it out and maybe treat yourself. But now on with this latest episode, and in it I speak to Ulaş Tol. He's not the author of a book, but rather of a new report called Urban Alevism and Young Alevis' Search for Identity, which is published by the Istanbul-based think tank Podem. The Alevis constitute the principal religious minority in Turkey, distinct from the Sunni Muslim majority. There's still lively debate about whether Alevism is a branch within Islam or whether it's a distinct faith, but either way, Alevis are thought to make up around 15% of Turkey's population. Politically, they've generally been on the left, advocating secularism, and generally are seen as having a more liberal or relaxed attitude on various social issues. Research for the report was conducted in the Alevi-heavy neighbourhoods in the suburban Sancaktepe, Sultanbeyli, and Maltepe districts on Istanbul's Asian side, and I started by asking Ulaş Tol why he chose those particular areas to study.
These districts, neighborhoods, are Alevi-based neighborhoods. They have their history, especially slum houses are common in these neighborhoods. And as Alevis migrate to cities, come to these districts, these three districts have some differences as well. One of them is Gülsuyu in Maltepe. It is a district that doesn't touch the other districts. It is like an island in the city. So it is more isolated than the other districts. And Alevis are more common than the other Alevi districts in Istanbul. One of the other chosen neighborhood is Sarıgazi. In Sarıgazi, it is not isolated like Gülsuyu. Also, there live some other identities as well. Especially the Kurdish identity has also a population in this district. So the interaction between Alevis and Kurdish identity you can observe there. And the third one in Sultanbeyli, the Yavuz Sultan Selim and Ahmet Yesevi neighborhoods is chosen because the Alevis are a minority in this area. Also, the Islamist identities are very common in this region. So they interact, the Alevis have to interact with these groups in this district. So we choose three different type of Alevi neighborhood in Istanbul and interviewed with first public opinion leaders of Alevis in this district and then the youngs who live in these neighborhoods.
And you talk about migration being really key. And Alevi migration into cities began really in the 1970s and 80s to gain momentum. And you talk in the report about how Alevi identity has always primarily been constructed in the countryside and a lot of the traditions developed in that form. But of course, there's been this huge wave of migration across Turkey, and that's obviously hugely affected how Alevism is practiced and how it's seen as an identity. Could you just talk a bit about this important question question of migration in the formation of how Alevism has changed over the last few decades.
Among other identities in Turkey, Alevis were the last community that migrate to cities. Before that, they live in rural, mostly in rural areas, and they built closed communities in rural area. Because of discriminatory practices of other identities, they chose to live in countryside mainly, but due to economical reasons and other sociological and historical reasons, they start to migrate among 70s and 80s to cities. And form their villages in cities as a slum type of neighborhoods. So they continued to live in cities as close as their villages. But during time, this closeness became is not possible for them. So they became more open in cities, and due to some other reasons during 90s, they become more open to public, and they started to interact with other identities in city. And in 2000s, there has been another reason why they opened to other identities. The urban transformation changed their neighborhoods. The slums became apartments, and also the Sunni identities migrated to these neighborhoods. Especially the poor one started to migrate from the center of cities to such neighborhoods. So these neighborhoods are more mixed neighborhoods than before. So this closeness is no more possible in today's climate. And this affected the Alevis as such. They became more open, and especially for youngs, it has been an important question to define themselves to other identities, because they started to face with the question, who are you? Or if you say I am Alevi, what is Alevi? How do you define Alevism? And it forced Alevi youngs to go to their public opinion leaders and please explain us how we define Alevis, and they seek the root of this Alevi identity in different manner.
I suppose there's a comparison also with the process of urbanization and how it's been experienced for Sunnis, because people talk about conscious Sunniism, like I think it's Şuurlu in Turkish. And that's really a product of being in the urban space and having to kind of question your own kind of position, as it were, the new generations questioning their position in society.
Yeah, the Alevism is an ignorance in the society. The Sunnis majority do not know Alevism. Even they know some Alevis, they don't know that they are Alevis. If an issue comes to agenda, they learn that they are Alevi and they are surprised of. But even they don't know what Alevism is, because Alevis are absent in everywhere. If you are an Alevi and go to the public sphere, you do not say that you are Alevi. Even in media, you can't see an Alevi identity in popular culture as well. In films, in serials, the Alevi identity is not in the scene. You do not see an Alevi as called Alevi. You can sense that Alevism is there, but a Sunni don't know that Alevism is told about. So a ordinary Sunni citizen do not encounter with Alevism in everyday life. So if you say I am Alevi, it is a big question for them. And Alevi youngs claiming their identity faces with this question more and more today.
Just going back to this question of the rural-urban divide, wonder could you talk a bit about the idea that you mentioned in the report about there being a kind of generation gap that can fit onto this rural-urban divide?
We can talk actually about three generations. One lived Alevism in rural as a closed community. The second came to cities and Alevi identity was hidden for them. And third, the youngs, today's youngs, who met with Alevi identity and who are seeking the Alevi identity. These three generations live differently the identity. So the youngs mostly goes to not their parents, they goes to grandfathers or grandmothers and ask to them for Alevi thoughts. And the main difference between them is the elder generation lived Alevism with a closed community, but today's Alevi youngs can't live such an Alevism. And many rituals of Alevism in rural based and designed for a closed community, but in city it is not possible. Many rituals they couldn't live as they live in rural. So for youngs, it becomes more a cultural issue more than a faith issue. The cultural dimensions became more attractive for them, like playing saz or dancing semah, religious ritual of Alevism, or the philosophical roots of Alevism, discussing of philosophical issues in the Alevi faith.
And another thing about this generational divide is you mentioned that young Alevis in cities obviously associate the state authority with the AKP government because they've never lived under any other party rule. Mm-hmm. This really may be another form of the generation divide, this different perspective of the state.
Yeah, but even the youngs only experience this. Also, the elder Alevis are anti-AKP. They share the youngs' attitudes as well because they have the anxiety of being victimized again. They historically see themselves as victims of many historical attacks, and they believe that it's still valid for today's life. So being against AK Party is the common feature between youngs and elder Alevis. The difference is the youngs are more politicized, and they also participate, some of them also participate in leftist movements which are active in these neighborhoods. And the elder one, which experienced many practices against state and some criminal issues, they want to protect these youngs to participate in such movements. They want to protect their children. They mainly do not believe in justice system in Turkey. So the political participation channel is very dangerous channel for them.
I want to talk about this question of politics because you mention it in the report as part of kind of three main tendencies in Alevi youth's attempt to define their identity. The first tendency is to emphasize the cultural aspect of Alevism. The second is highlighting the faith aspect. And the third is the political question and generally being part of leftist or socialist active politics. So there are these many shades, and sometimes one aspect is emphasized and sometimes another, and there's always a different kind of balance. Could you just explain how these three tendencies interact?
Before that, we can talk about the identity dimensions of Alevism. I told about that the main question of a young Alevi is to define their identity, what Alevism is. If you ask this question among Alevis, you can see three main references to define Alevism. One is obviously Islam. Alevi says strong bonds with Islam, and most of the Alevis sees Alevism within Islam as a sect, a heterodox part of the Islam. The second is the Kemalism. They see Mustafa Kemal, they are loyal to Mustafa Kemal, and they believe that he is like a savior for them from Muslim intervention or violence. So Kemalism is a factor that guarantees their right to live in this country. And a third one is the we can say the Enlightenment philosophy, and they met this philosophy among 70s with Turkish political left who worked in the slum neighborhoods, and they were with Alevis against the nationalist Islamic movements. So these three references built the Alevi identities, and regarding to these three references, you can see three kind of behavior of Alevi youngs. One is to choose the religious part, to become a religious Alevi, go to Cemevi and interested in Alevi rituals, to try to learn Alevi's faith and philosophy. The second is to leave Alevism as a cultural identity and see themselves like secular citizens. And the third behavior of this young is to participate in a leftist or socialist movement. In this neighborhood, there are active socialist movement, and they remain in a sympathy level, or they sometimes also actively engage in these movements. But among these three categories, the cultural one is the largest one. Among younger youngs, the religious one is also has become popular, and the least one is the youngs who participating in a leftist or socialist movement.
What about the question of like mainstream politics? Because obviously there's the element of far left revolutionary socialist activism that Alevis are sometimes known for. But in terms of voting, like most Alevi voters vote either for the CHP or some for the HDP. And obviously, I suppose there's a kind of ethnic question here as well, with, you know, Zaza Alevis or Kurdish Alevis. Could you just talk about how Alevi voters kind of engage with mainstream politics?
Most of the Alevis and also the young ones are voting for the CHP, the Republican Party, but they always are critical to CHP. They have always some critics to CHP, but they don't see any alternative to CHP. So the majority are voting for CHP. As you mentioned, some leftist one and some Kurdish Alevis are voting for HDP, especially last year in June election in 2015. It was more common. The HDP has become popular among youngs, especially the leftist one. They started to see an alternative to CHP, but the majority are voting for CHP, and a minority of the among Alevis are also pro AK Party or nationalist movement party, but they are very few, and even they vote, they can't call it loudly. It is not acceptable among Alevis to vote AK Party or nationalist movement party.
I also want to talk about the war in Syria and how that's changed the dynamics in Turkey, because it seems that there's been a kind of rise in, you know, the ISIS threat, and obviously the Syrian civil war has affected Turkey in many ways, but it's unfortunately caused some kind of polarization on ethnic and sectarian lines, with the government being seen by Alevis as supporting the mostly Sunni rebels, and people therefore kind of almost instinctively see the Alevis as being allied with the Assad government, even though the Alawite and the Alevis are completely different things. Yeah. Can you just talk about how the Syrian civil war has changed the balances in Turkey in this sense?
As you said, the Syrian Alevis are very different from Turkish Alevis, and Turkish Alevis do not feel that they are similar to them. But the main result of this issue is the ISIS threat. The ISIS threat recall Alevis' historical attacks to Alevis, the Maraş, Sivas, and other historical issues that targeted the Alevi population in different cities of Turkey. So they feel that they have a security problem. They are waiting some attacks to Cemevis of ISIS. Also, sometimes the government warned them that could be such an attack. And it also triggered the Islamophobia among Alevis. They lived, as I told, in mixed neighborhood nowadays. And if they see an Islamic habitus in their neighborhood, they are recalling the ISIS militants, and the Islamophobia became more prevalent among Alevis due to this issue. And on the other side, the Sunnis see the hate of Alevism among Sunnis has arises due to this Syrian issue, especially the radical Islamist ones. So the tension between Sunnism and Alevism has affected this issue.
And just to conclude, in the report you make a number of recommendations, and could you just kind of describe what steps you think policy-wise you would recommend to a government in addressing the Alevi question?
We can say mainly the normalization is the most important recommendation for policy. Alevism should be normalized among society. The majority should know the Alevism, and they should see Alevism as a normal issue, as a normal identity. This needs the visibility of Alevism among in every aspects of everyday life, in media, in popular culture, in public institutions. So the participation of Alevism in public institutions should be provided. Alevis claimed that they could not participate in bureaucracy in public institutions. The state does not allow Alevis to be part of the state. This is an important thing. Another important thing is the discrimination against Alevism is still a big problem in Turkey. It has some reasons. One of the main area that discrimination became to agenda is the religious courses in schools. A Alevi young cannot feel comfortable in schools due to these religious courses. It is obligatory in schools. One of the main discriminatory practices is these religious courses. And the recognition of Alevism is another thing of this normalization process. And the main part of this recognition is to recognize the Cemevi as worship, as a legitimate worship for Alevis. And maybe the third dimension that Alevis claims against discrimination is the presence of Directorate of Religious Affairs institution. This institution for Alevis is a Sunni institution, and it is a state institution. The presence of such an institution is another discriminatory, structural discriminatory issue.
Partly, sorry, the question of the Diyanet is the idea that the Diyanet is discriminatory is partly because it's funded by taxes that are paid by all citizens, but it's only providing services to Sunni mosques.
Yes, exactly. And it also triggers that this society is Sunni, and it also helps the ignorance of other minorities, especially the Alevis.
That was Ulash Tol. I've put a link to his downloadable report for the PodM think tank, Urban Alevism and Young Alevis Search for Identity, on the website armstrongwilliam.wordpress.com, so check it out there. Remember, Turkey Book Talk listeners are able to get a generous one-third off the price of four different books from the publisher Hearst, plus free delivery. To order using that discount, follow the links that I've posted at the website and in the show notes on the various apps and on the Turkey Book Talk Facebook page. Also, don't forget to rate or review this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher or Acast, which helps flag it up for other potential listeners. Follow via Twitter or like that Facebook page, or do both, to stay updated with new episodes. Email recommendations, feedback or abuse via williamjohnarmstrong@gmail.com. And remember, if you enjoy this podcast and you want to support it, you can do so via my Patreon account, donating on a per episode basis. Many thanks to current supporters, Celia Jocelyn Kerslake, Özlem Bayarslan, Steve Bryant and Aaron Ataman. But until the next episode, thank you once again for listening. Telli manam tellidir, tellidir amma.